I speak to you in the name of Jesus, risen from the dead. Amen. He breathed on them. In ordinary times, we might not notice that little piece of the gospel. He breathed on them. But we are told now that if somebody breathes on us, we might get sick and die. We stand far apart. We wear masks to cover our mouths and noses. We wash our hands relentlessly. We use hand sanitizers. We are afraid of being breathed on. Yet on that first Easter day, Jesus appeared to his friends who were hiding behind locked doors, and he breathed on them, and his breath bestowed life on them and not death. It's a strange perversion of the normal, or at least what we normally expect, that a gesture meant for love and intimacy can yield sickness and death. More than 30 years ago, AIDS began to ravage our society. This wasting disease made people sick, and they died, often alone, in great suffering. And when we finally figured out where it came from and how it spread, it was clear that it passed from person to person through actions that should have conveyed life and love. People got sick from blood transfusions, normally the way to save lives. People got sick from having sex, and however much it seemed that the sex they were having was outside the bounds of what most of us knew, sex is always, somehow, supposed to communicate love and affection, not death. Amid the devastation and despair during the AIDS epidemic, the most daunting and disruptive effect was to make us afraid of being close. It feels a little similar now. The COVID-19 virus spreads from person to person. We have had to stay away from each other to avoid getting sick. Basketball arenas are empty. The Metropolitan Opera lies vacant, its great stage soundless. Schools stand as mute reminders of the danger we face. We cannot be together in church in the most glorious season of the year, lest we cause one of our beloved brothers or sisters to become ill and perhaps die. And it seems to be a perversion of our most basic needs and wants to be together, to embrace one another, to sit at table and laugh and bask in the love of our community. As much as the illness itself and our fear of it, it is this separation that casts us down and causes us to feel alone. Yet, he breathed on them. And if only from afar, we may still feel the moist warmth of Jesus' breath, feel the goodness flowing over us, and know that when this long epidemic has passed, Jesus' breath will still be filling us with forgiveness and life. In the very beginning, and we heard this story in the holy night of Easter, and if you were with us by video, you heard as well. Life was bestowed on the formless void by the breath of God, the Ruach of God. It's a wonderful Hebrew word, Ruach. The breath of God fills the void with life. God's breath blows back the floodwaters. It gives breath to all living things. Even Job, reduced to nothing by his misfortunes, believes that as long as he has life within him, he has God's Ruach in his nostrils, God's breath in his nostrils. No wonder Jesus breathed on them on the day of resurrection. It was God standing before them, filling them with life and forgiveness. For most of the time in our lives, we know God by analogy with other things we know. St. Thomas Aquinas believed this, imagined an entire theology on this premise. But even apart from formal theology, we know this to be true. Intuition tells us, we know by analogy, oh, this is like that. So here goes. When my wife kisses me, I feel beloved. But as she approaches my lips, I feel her breath, and I bathe in its warmth and moistness, knowing that I am receiving life and love from the one I love. When my grandson Liam or my granddaughter Claire kisses me, I am usually blown away by their breath, even before I feel their lips upon my cheeks. It is the breath that alerts me to the love following. It was the breath of Jesus that caught the attention of the disciples. It was his breath, like the breath of Aslan that turned stone to life, that awakened hope and courage in the small band of frightened friends. Now it is we who are afraid. Afraid of becoming sick. Afraid of losing our jobs. Afraid of not having enough food. Afraid of running out of toilet paper and paper towels. Afraid our children will fall behind in school. Afraid our retirement savings will falter. We are afraid, all of us. It is a fearful time. And the hugs and the kisses, the warm breath we would like to receive from those we love may not reach us. We miss our fellowship. We long to be together. We are alone in our houses, much as the disciples were locked in their room. And we ache to be breathed on by Jesus. In this time, we fall back on the Psalms, just as people have done for as long as they believed and hoped. Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. You will show me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness and joy. It is the breath and the kiss that we miss that would seal our forgiveness and our love. In the marriage rite in our Book of Common Prayer, the blessing of the married couple prays like this: let their love for each other be a seal upon their hearts. It seems to me that Jesus' breath upon the disciples was the seal of the promise of resurrection. If you will hold still, you may feel his breath upon you, even as we stand apart from one another. Feel the warmth. Let the breeze of his ruach, his breath, rustle your forehead and fill you with joy. It is the breath of God. It is the wind that bestowed life on the lifeless void. It is the promise of life itself. One day, we will all breathe upon each other again without fear. Until then, let Jesus bathe us with life. Amen.
Amen.